time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have a cool show for you today that will not take place on Earth, because the title of the show is Let's Take a Walk on the Moon. The first thing we have to do is to dispute a few myths. So the first one, the moon is not made of cheese. I repeat, not made of cheese. The second one is there a man on the moon? And the answer is no. But the third one is still in dispute, and that is, did the cow jump over the moon? In a serious sense, let's talk about, okay, so the moon itself, why it's a moon and not a planet. This show was brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. First thing we need to know and understand is this. Planets orbit, so they revolve around the sun. Moons revolve around planets, so our moon, you know, it's amazing. All the moons you look at, like the ones of Jupiter, Europa, they got all these cool names, and our moon is called, like, Moon. Like, how come we didn't give our name a cool name like Bob, you know? I don't know. So there's the first, my own little pet peeve on that one. But it does revolve around the Earth, so that's why it is a moon. Let's talk a little bit about gravity up there. And people say, there is gravity. And you probably have heard, some of you have heard, that there's 1/6 the amount of gravity up there that is on the Earth. So I always say this way, if you want to lose a little weight, whatever you weigh on Earth, if you go up to the moon for a visit, you'll weigh 1/6 of what you weigh here. And people go, well, that's not a lot. But think about how crazy this is. Well, there is moon dust, and I'll talk to you all about that in a little bit. So the gravity is strong enough to hold the dust down. But the other one is this. We know that moons and the sun also, but the moon is what affects the tides on Earth. So we are 238,000 miles away, and the moon, its gravitational pull is still strong enough to pull water on Earth. So that's pretty amazing when you think about that. We're basically 250,000 miles away, and the moon's gravity will pull and move the water on Earth, not just in the oceans, it is in the Great Lakes, in major rivers. So we have all these tides as a result of that. So let's talk a little bit about the temperature. I'm going to give you in degrees F. And when you hear the temperatures, because think about this, except for one day during its moon phases, and I'll get to all that, the light side is always facing us. So for this reason, which means the sun is hitting that surface, think about how crazy a temperature this is. It is, on the light side, 266 degrees F. Man, that is crazy hot. And you go, well, that's pretty nuts. Well, the dark side, which is not facing the sun, not facing us, think about, if you think the first one was crazy, watch how crazier it is. If you're ever saying to yourself, man, it's cold out, or if it's freezing, it's 32 degrees F. On the dark side, it is negative 338 degrees F. It's like more than fathomable, crazy cold. But now put that in perspective to when, you know, we will have our discussion about, you know, astronauts going to the moon. But when we developed their suits had to withstand both extremes. It had to withstand a 266 F above and a negative 338 degrees below. So, I mean, talk about crazy temps, but think about when we developed the suits way back in the early 60s, you know, made on straight on through to when we actually landed on the moon. Now, anytime you see a picture of the moon, it looks like this very flat surface. And some of you out there who have seen the MTV commercial, man jumping up on the moon, and that was not the first Apollo mission, by the way, you have this idea that the moon is flat. Well, when we landed on the moon, we selected surfaces that would be flat. And that makes sense, because why would you want to land on something that is mountainous? Well, the moon has 10 mountain ranges on it. And it has, and people say, well, it's got craters. How about this? It has over 30,000 craters. I stayed up last night to count each and every, no, I did not. But we know that it has many craters, 10 moon mountain ranges. And if you were to visit nasa.gov, you can link onto their site. It is pretty spectacular place, because when you're on their site, Yeah, the Hubble telescope has taken some great photos of the entire universe, and you get to see some really neat things. But since we're talking moon, I would check that out. And I'm sure you know by now that this show is brought to you by Tranquility Mountain Backpacks. Have you seen the Joey B Signature Series? If you have not, log on to TranquilityMountain.com. This is where adventures begin. And hey, if any of you out there have a question for me, you could tweet me at Joey B News. That's at J-O-E-Y-B-E-E News. Maybe you have a question about this show or comment about the show, or you have a thought about a future show. Please let me know. Now, let's talk about when the astronauts first went there and the first ones to land the Apollo 11, and I'll get to all the numbers and so you have the sequence later on. But we know these were the guys that went there. We had to school them in so much. They were not just what we'd say astronauts. We had to teach them about geology, meteorology. Like, there's so many different things that these, and they were fighter pilots. That's what they were, because the first, think about this. Early on, there was no such thing as an astronaut. We had to train them, and these were all naval fighter pilots that we were teaching to become astronauts. Well, when they went to the moon, one of their geologic missions was to take back as many rocks as they possibly can. So let's think about this. The main group of rocks, if you remember, there's igneous, metamorphic, sedimentary. The main group of rock they brought back in abundance were igneous rocks. And think about, igneous rocks are made from molten, so it's either magma below the Earth's surface or lava above. So now we're talking about the moon's surface below or above. But the primary rock they brought back was igneous. So this was proof that the moon was once warm. And we're going to come back to that fact in a little bit. They found one specific sedimentary rock. Geologists do pronounce it one of two ways, breccia or breccia, but either way, whichever you pronounce it, it is one that they found up there. And the third one, a cool one, moon dust. And you go, moon dust is a rock? Yeah. It's ground up bits of glass and ground up rock. And you go, well, glass, well, how'd that get on the moon? Did people go up breaking bottles? Now, remember, when you make glass, you need heat. Remember that the moon was once warm because of the igneous rock found there. Aha. Now, one of the things we found that the moon dust was actually very slippery. Not on the first Apollo mission, but if you were to, and see, here's a cool thing. You could YouTube everything in the history of the world. And there is one of the astronauts on one of the subsequent missions, and he was trying to put in the American flag, and he slipped. And I'm telling you, when he slipped and fell on the moon dust, it was amazing to see the amount of slipperiness, whatever, when you see him fall. So that's just something for you to definitely check out. And when we brought the rocks back, we dated the rocks. What we did was we took to the rocks to a movie on a Saturday. No, that's not when you date a rock. When you date a rock, you're actually taking the rock and seeing the carbon and the way the carbon breaks down, and we can tell the age of anything. So we were able to tell that the rocks, or the oldest rock we found on there, was 4.6 billion years old. That's billion with a B. Well, we then spoke about all the craters that are on there. Well, the craters occurred from one of two things. Impacts of space objects, you know, comets and Cupids and Donners and Blitz, with comets hitting it, meteors hitting it, that. And if you remember, the top of a volcano now is called a crater. So some of that was proof that, once again, that it was warm. So let's talk about now the theory. So this is an accepted theory about, well, where'd the moon come from? Well, the moon, if you look at the age of the rocks, the oldest rock is 4.6 billion years old. The Earth, the oldest rock is 4.6 billion years old. We are made of the same rocks, us and them. Anybody putting things together now? The accepted theory is as Earth was actually forming, early Earth, a piece of it broke away, floating into space. Our gravitational pull, and obviously the sun's gravitational pull, but our gravitational pull was strong enough to hold it there at 238,000 miles away. And that's where that piece, you know, that broke away is. Now we now call it the moon. Why we don't call him Bob, I don't know. But anyway, and people say, okay, so if that's the case, then where on Earth is that big hole? And then many people go, all right, so it's got to be in the ocean. That's what makes the oceans deep. And the answer is no, because we have three processes geologically that keep occurring on the Earth. That is weathering, erosion, and deposition. Deposition is the final product of those two, where it's a laying down of weathered material, rock material. Well, think about this. our Earth's surface has changed from the beginning straight through to now. So from that reason, we have no idea. But that is the accepted theory. It's a pretty cool one, too, when you think about it. So we can then turn our attentions to ice on the moon. And you're going, well, what do you mean ice on the moon? Well, if you look at the poles, once again, you go to NASA.gov, and you can actually, it's really cool. Once you get on the photo and you click and you begin to scan across, you can scan your way up to the poles, and you will see that there's ice, there's frozen water, and it's got to be obviously on the dark side because it can't be on the light side, otherwise the water would have evaporated out. But it's there, and we believe that that water was there due to comets hitting the moon at one point in time. We did have in 2009 a rocket that crashed in there to detect water inside a crater. Sort of inconclusive at that point, but we do know that the water on the poles is definitely due to the comets hitting it. So let's talk about the atmosphere. When the astronauts first went there, once again, their job as meteorologists then was to see if they could find some type of atmosphere because we had talked about, okay, let's go to the moon and let's set up a colony on the moon and all this. So when they went there, they could not detect an atmosphere. They came back and they said that there was no known atmosphere up there. So don't plan a summer vacation to the moon because I don't think it's a very suitable place to be. Talking about moonlight now. Moonlight is, the moon does not have its own source of light. It's reflected sunlight. So let's put this guy here in perspective. The moonlight that is reflected to Earth is 10%. 90% of the sun's rays that hit the moon is absorbed. Remember, it's a rock surface, so it absorbs it. In your mind, just have the picture of like the sun hitting the beach during the day and how hot it gets. It absorbs all that energy. So the first thing is that is the reason why the light side is so hot is the sun's rays are being absorbed. All the energy is being absorbed in. And they always joke and say it this way. So what happens if it was reversed? What happens if 90% was reflected to Earth? It would be, in my mind, can't happen, but it would be in my mind that we would never have a nighttime, so to speak, because there'd be that much light being reflected over to Earth. So that's sort of not going to happen. But let's talk then about the moon phases, because this obviously deals with the moon's light. Well, moon phases are actually caused by two things. It's caused by the rotation of the moon on his axis and its revolution around the Earth. Well, our rotation speed is so fast. We move, and I always joke about it, like if you want to talk about like the ultimate ride, because people say, well, I want to go on the fastest roller coaster. We are rotating at 1,000 miles per hour. So we are the super fast speed on Earth. But the moon's rotation speed is so slow compared to ours. The moon's rotation speed is only 10 miles per hour. For that reason, that's why we get to see whatever face of the moon we're looking at, we get to see it. The moon spins only once on its axis during one revolution. So that's why the light side of the moon is always facing us. That's why we see a moon phase, except for the start of the cycle. And the start of the cycle starts on the new moon. That's the only time the dark side is facing us. And when the dark side is facing us, when you look up, you see nothing because there's no light being reflected. And the opposite of that, because if you're ever to draw the eight major phases, maybe when you were a kid and or in college, hey, and you're drawing that, and as you're drawing the phases, well, as you're drawing them, the new moon and the full moon are on opposite sides. And with the full moon, there is so much light hitting the Earth. And the way I describe it is this. If you happen to live somewhere in a city or near a city, with all the light pollution, you really don't get a chance to see how bright a full moon is. So you need to go out into the countryside because when I am actually, and I don't want to use the word lecturing, so I'll say speaking to kids, and I'll say, okay, what is the greatest game that you can go out and play? And kids will give me, I'll go, no, the greatest game is Manhunt. And when you were playing Manhunt, see, growing up on the farm, we would play Manhunt on a full moon night. That means you could run through the fields, run into the forest, and you could see everywhere. And I would joke and say that if you tripped and fell over like a root or something, that means you were a spaz because you could see everywhere you're going. And then on those new moon nights, we would play flashlight tag because you had to because there was no reflective light. So it was full. We probably played probably every night, but those were the two main ones that we would. And you could you know, so it's just a perspective on the moon itself and how much light. And here's your Jeopardy trivia question, because people always ask this one. So what phase was the moon in when we actually landed on the moon for the very first time? And it was a waxing crescent. So if you're ever on Jeopardy, you now have one of the answers. So that's really a cool answer for you to speak about. Now, let's talk about man landing on the moon, like why we landed on the moon. So here's like a little bit of I'm sure you know by now, there always is a bit of politics in just about every decision that we do. Well, way back when, all right, we had the Cold War going on. And the Cold War was when we would dress up in lots of clothes. No, that was not Cold War. The Cold War was when it was the U.S. versus Russia. And it didn't matter. And it was, again, there were governments. They weren't people that, because if you met a Russian, they were just nice people. But it was governments. And if the U.S. said, oh, by the way, the ocean is blue, Russia would have said, no, it's green. And probably they would have said it's red to give you a call, because sometimes the ocean is green. But it was like the opposite of what was going on. Well, Russia's space program at this point was on target to get to the moon. Our space program wasn't on target. We weren't doing so well. So President Kennedy in the early 60s, he said, by the end of the decade, we will put a man on the moon. Well, here's the American ingenuity at this point in time. We put our top physicists together down at NASA and basically said to them, okay, build us a space program, build us a program to get to the moon to beat the Russians. And some people are going, oh, so we went to the moon for exploration. No. Politically, we went there to beat the Russians. Because think about this. I'm just going to make up a, I have no idea who won. But think about who won the 72 World Series. Probably the Yankees, because they win probably every other year, but I really don't know. Well, here's the deal. People typically remember the first person to win something, the first team to win, the winners. You don't remember the second place people, because to this day, people will say to me, hey, did the Russians ever get to the moon? Yeah, subsequently they did. And many people don't even know that, because the Americans got there first. So the rockets that they were building at this point, because many people, if you're younger, you remember space shuttles, and that's how we reusable rockets. Well, these were three-stage rockets, and I describe it as this long, tall, looked like a huge pencil point, or pencil. And it was built in stages. And the stages were filled with fuel, and the fuel, the first stage, when it would take off, as it would take off, that stage and fuel was to get it up off the ground. And think about how much this whole thing weighed, because the fuel and the rocket itself weighed tons upon tons, to get it up off the ground and to get it into space. And we always shot these rockets off from Florida. And when they started at the Space Center there and they would go up, the first stage would break off and fall into the ocean. So we always had that. So every one of the first stages of all of these rockets are at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. And once we got into space now, there were two stages. And those stages, its job was to get the rocket up to speed. So when the second stage, as it's going, hurling through space and used up all that fuel, it would break off. The third stage would break off. And before I tell you the speed, think about this. The second and third stages are now orbiting the Earth. Think about every single rocket that we've ever shot into space. We actually call it space junk. So we have not only polluted Earth, we have polluted the space. And when we shoot something off from Earth, we actually have to time it so it does not hit a piece of space junk. Well, the goal at that point was to get, when I say get it up to speed, our job was to get it up to 24,000 miles per hour. So think about that speed. What was left after you had the first three stages was two things. You had the capsule and the LEM. And the LEM was capital letters, capital L-E-M, and it stood for Lunar Excursion Model, because we're going to need to get 24,000 miles per hour, because remember this, we need that energy to get back home. There is no friction in space. So once we got it up to speed, once you got it to 24,000 miles per hour, it was not going to slow down until we, you know, re-enter the Earth's atmosphere. We'll get to that later on. Now, we actually needed to get to these Apollo missions. So the Apollo missions were this. Let's talk about who got there, how they got there. And the first missions were the Apollo 8 and Apollo 10, I'll talk to you about 9 in a second, they went to the moon. They orbited the moon, but they didn't land on the moon. You see, like practice runs for anything, we needed to make sure that we could get there. We needed to make sure that we could orbit, you know, learn about the moon's gravitational pull at that point, all of these things, and to get back home. I always joked about it and said, so what happens if all these guys decided, hey, let's fake everyone out and we'll land on the moon and we'll be the first, well, obviously it didn't happen. Well, the reason why Apollo 9, this was the only tragedy in that mission, where on Earth there was an explosion and those three astronauts, they did die on Earth, not in space exploration. So now it was Apollo 11. And Apollo 11, their job was to land on the moon. They were going to the moon. So let's talk now about that mission, them going to the moon, and what happened, like the things that they did up there. Because some of the cooler things, and not just MTV commercials, but some of the things that they did was this. Well, the first one is this. Only two guys, because there's three astronauts going up, only two guys went to the moon. You see, remember, we needed that energy to get back home. So Mike Collins, the pilot, he just kept orbiting the moon. That was his job, staying at 24,000 miles per hour. That was the energy to get back home. So the LEM breaks apart, and now you have two guys, Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong. Buzz Aldrin, a couple cool things about him. Number one, his name, Buzz. Some of you know the movie Toy Story. I'm not a movie guy, but that's where Buzz Lightyear comes from. And for me, Buzz Aldrin, he grew up in Montclair, New Jersey. And growing up myself on the East, I actually had coached many years in Montclair, so I know a little bit about that and his story. And then Neil Armstrong, and that's the name that we all remember because he was the first one who stepped foot on the moon. We'll get to all that in a few seconds. But it's them breaking away in the LEM, them landing. Now, as they're landing, and if you YouTube this video, it's pretty cool, there was a camera on the underside of the LEM. And as it's coming down, we are thinking now that it's going to land and sink into the moon dust, never having been there. We knew it was there, but never having landed. And you could actually see, as we get closer to the surface, the rocket engine, the LEM engine, blowing away some of the moon dust. And then when we landed, it didn't totally compact in the moon's surface like we thought it would, because when you see Neil Armstrong, first man coming down, when you see him coming down, the last rung of the ladder was actually a missing, it looks like a rung that was missing, which it was not. We thought that the LEM itself would compact itself a little bit more inside there, because he joked when Buzz Aldrin was finally coming out, he joked, he says, hey Buzz, watch out for that last step. Well, that's the reason. So if you do, because again, YouTubing a number of these things is pretty worthwhile to see, and I keep using YouTube. I have no association with them, but I just know that you want to see something, it's probably there. Now, it was an 8-day mission. So think about this. They only spent 24 hours on the moon, and when you watch all the stuff they did, you go, ah, it must have been days. No. So of the 8 days, it was only 24 there, so you think about the three and a half, you know, that type of thing to get there, to get home. Well, a couple of things that they did. They wired a flag, so the flag was already pre-wired, so that when they stuck it in, and it wasn't an easy stick because they had to drill into the moon's surface, they put the flag in, and it looks like it's waving in the breeze. All those theorists who say we never landed it, well, we have all this proof, so it's very easy to prove this. And, well, because think about this. If you put the flag up there without a wire to hold the flag out so you can see the American flag, well, since there's no known atmosphere, that means there's no wind. That means the flag would just be like straight down. So we have it like it's waving in the breeze up there, and that makes sense to do it that way. And you know something? The political side is, you know, hey, you know, when you say, you know, years past, I conquer this land in the name of, well, we don't own the moon. But it's almost like we got here first, so Russia, take a look at this flag. Well, another one of the things that they did there was they took a lot of rock samples back from, so if you think about this, they took a lot of rock samples back, and we already spoke about all those. And now it's time to take off from the moon, and the LEM itself actually is split in two. The bottom part of the LEM, every time we landed there, stayed there, and the top part breaks off, takes off, and it is now their job to link up with Mike Collins. So Mike Collins orbiting around the moon, bang, 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 and he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. And Mike Collins is going 24,000 miles an hour. Now you have one chance. So it's not like baseball. You can go swing and miss, strike one, strike two. They got one chance to link up with him. So this is Aldrin and Armstrong, they got one chance to link up with him to go back home. Because, hey, think about this. If we didn't link up right, guess what? Collins was still going. He had to go home. I mean, this was it. And what happens if when we landed on the moon, things didn't go well? Well, the president at the time of the landing was President Nixon. And I'm sure you know that all presidents have speechwriters. And when certain things are going on in the world, they always have two speeches written, one for the positive, one for the negative. And President Nixon's speechwriter also wrote one, what happens if the astronauts on the moon, they died? So I happen to have a copy of that speech. And what I'm going to do for you right now is I'm going to read you the first couple sentences of this. This is, and we know obviously that it was a success and these guys did get home and cheers, the fans go crazy, and they should. But this is the speech that Nixon had written just in case that it wasn't a success. So here it goes. It says, fate has ordained that men who went to the moon to explore in peace will stay on the moon to rest in peace. These brave men, Neil Armstrong and Edwin Aldrin, know that there is no hope for their recovery, but they also know that there is hope for mankind in their sacrifice. These two men are laying down their lives and mankind's most noble goal, the search for truth and understanding. And the rest of it still continues to go along. He's obviously talking about to his family and friends and the Americans and, you know, how we, you know, the respect that you would give them. So the speech goes on, but we obviously know it was a success. So now they're coming back home. They come back, and as they enter the Earth's atmosphere, these parachutes open up to slow it down, but it's still going crazy fast, and it lands in the ocean, bounces in there. When it hits, these swimmies come out, these huge, and keeps it afloat in the ocean. They're brought on ship, and you'd say, all right, so now it's time for all the endorsements. Now it's time for all, and they're then put in quarantine for 18 days because we had no idea. Did they bring a disease, a virus, a bacteria, something back from the moon that didn't exist on Earth? So we didn't know that, and obviously the answer is no, so everything was safe. But we didn't know all that until they – but at that point in time, once the quarantine was over, then they were heroes. Heroes before they even went. So we had all those other missions that went after that, and the final mission was Apollo 17. That was the one that actually went on – the last one to go to the moon. And the Apollo 15 was the cool one because that's when we had the lunar rover. It was like a – Flintstone mobile type of car with an engine on it to drive them around. So they went out there in style. So this was the where on earth moment were you when Apollo 11 landed. So if you're old enough, you know, there's things that have happened in life when you go, oh, I was at this when this happened. And I guess the Apollo 11 mission or the first landing on the moon was that where on earth moment. So the next time you see the man on the moon, he's no longer a stranger to you because you now have all of these cool facts. So the next time we are together, let's take a walk on the moon. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures. Joey B. Joey B's Adventure. Joey B's Adventure. Joey B's Adventure. Joey B's Adventure.
That was awesome.